There and welcome to another episode of Life is an Art podcast with me, Maggie. As you have probably guessed by now from the title of the episode, today we're delving ourselves into deep matters, deep personal matters, and often misunderstood topics of failed relationships with narcissists. In all honesty, I'm also trying to understand and maybe even help someone who's going through this situation or a similar situation. I have personally been in a relationship that I would consider narcissistic or narcissist. And that's the reason why I have decided to talk about it, because maybe one or two or none, or you're about to indulge into one, so that you can maybe learn something from this episode and maybe you can help heal or avoid or help someone who's going through the same. So I'm just going to say that navigating relationship with narcissists can be very a hollow experience, because it's characterized by manipulation, gaslighting, emotional abuse. And let me tell you, the effects of these toxic dynamics extend far beyond the relationship itself. They leave lasting scars on mental, emotion, and physical being of those who are involved. But in the midst of the pain and confusion, there's strength in shared experiences and solidarity, and that's why I'm making this episode. And I hope to shed light on these complicated issues or complexities of narcissistic relationships and offer support to those who have endured or want to know or understand how this whole dynamic is. So this episode is for whether you have personally experienced the devastations of a narcissistic relationship, or you're seeking to understand and support someone who's going through. I just want to invite you on this journey of healing and self-discovery. So together, let's navigate the tangled web of a narcissistic abuse with compassion and understanding, and I hope for brighter days ahead. So, let's start with the common. Define a narcissist. So, narcissism is a personality trait that's characterized by inflated sense of self-importance, a constant need of admiration, lack of empathy for others, and individuals with narcissistic traits often exhibit a pattern of grandiosity, entitlement, manipulative behavior, and their interactions with others. While it is important to know that narcissism exists on spectrum, just like autism and other mental health condition, ranging from mild to pathological, individuals with narcissistic personality disorders typically display persistent and rigid patterns of this trait and significantly impair their functioning and relationships. So, just like any other trait, narcissism is a personality trait. Like, these people can't help it but be the way they are. So that was an overall definition of a narcissism as a personality trait from a dictionary. So how can you know? What are the common behaviors that are associated with narcissistic individual? That name is hard, y'all. It's hard. Narcissistic individuals in relationships include what I say, grandiosity, which is often an exaggerated sense of importance. They may believe that they are superior than others. They may seek admiration, validation from others to boost their fragile self-esteem. And also, a narcissistic person, they lack empathy for other people's feelings, experiences. Like, they struggle to recognize or validate the emotions of others, viewing them as insignificant compared to their own. You get, like, they are extremely manipulative and exploitive. They may engage in manipulative tactics to control and exploit others for their own gain. This also includes gaslighting, manipulating someone, it's like questioning their reality. Like when someone tells you, like they question your reality. Really, did you think you saw that person? Do you think you saw what you saw? Something like that. Emotional manipulation and using others as a means to fulfill their own needs and desires. So basically narrows down to what they want, how they want it. There's also this sense of entitlement in people who have narcissistic tendency or they have the narcissistic personality trait. They are often entitled, have an attitude, believing that they deserve special treatment, admiration, attention from others. Without reciprocating that kind of attention, they may exploit relationship for personal gain and become enriched when their needs are not met. So another thing that's very, very huge, they do lack accountability. Narcissistic people, they struggle to take responsibility for their action. It's always someone else. And then they deflect the blame to someone else, external circumstances, the weather, anything other than themselves. They can never apologize or acknowledge their behavior. So it's always leading to a pattern of dysfunction in relationships, friendships, whatever relationship they're in. So there's idealization and devaluation. Idealization and devaluation. So this one was, I learned when I was doing my research and healing. This is like basically in romantic relationship, narcissistic people often in a cycle of idealization and devaluation, where they initially idealize their partner as perfect and flawless, eventually devaluing and demeaning them when they fail to live up to their unrealistic relationship. So these people are the best. They make you feel, in the beginning of the relationship, they'll make you feel like you're everything. But the moment they start saying that you have flaws, that's when the relationship goes out. Because now, you're not living up to their unrealistic expectation. So, there's now, how does all this transfers or becomes referred as an abuse? Because narcissistic abuse is a term that's now being used by psychologists and experts to refer to like a psychological, emotional, and sometimes physical harm inflicted upon an individual by a narcissistic individual. This abuse can take many forms, including verbal abuse, emotional manipulation, gaslighting, financial exploitation, and even physical violence in extreme cases. So the dynamic of a narcissistic abuse are characterized by power imbalance, control tactics, and like a perceived sense of invalidation and degradation inflicted upon the victim. So what happens when you find yourself in this relationship? Often what actually happened to me is these are some of the things that I went. So what were some of the effects that I can share with you that I experienced after being a survivor? Seems like a big word to use, like healing, or things that I discovered that were long lasting effects and impact on my mental and emotional well-being from being in this kind of a relationship. So one thing I did have was, for a moment during the relationship especially, I had the diminished self-esteem. So I questioned my self-worth due to constant criticism and gaslighting and invalidation by the narcissistic partner. So these are things that do happen to you. You question your self-worth, you question your esteem. There's erosion on all these two things. Another thing that you might go through during this, and some of the things that I might have gone through or actually went through, depending on how you want to hear it, It could lead to a lot of anxiety and depression. You're in a constant stress and uncertain of being when you're in a narcissistic relationship. So you kind of develop like this anxiety and you become a depressed victim. This may struggle with feelings of worthiness and hopelessness and despair, especially when you're very young. Okay, so when you're a victim of this kind of a relationship, you may internalize the narcissistic but manipulative narrative, that false accusation that may lead to your distorted belief, like you really can't believe yourself anymore until they see it. So you can't really believe that you're smart or you've done something amazing because you're constantly depending on them to validate that. So because of their of continuous manipulation, knowingly and unknowingly. So another thing, isolate yourself. Remember, we were talking with a friend of mine the other day, and she was like, when you're in this relationship, I thought you were being private because you were never talking. I could not go into those territories. I could not ask you about that person because it just felt like you really was isolated when it comes to that. And it made sense because one of the effects of being in a narcissistic abusive relationship is the person tends to isolate, because narcissism often seek to isolate their victims from support networks and external forces of validation, leaving them feeling alone, powerless, and dependent on their narcissistic partner for validation and approval. Like, you completely isolate yourself because of this relationship. And one thing that it's quite huge in severe cases, and it's been seen, and could have some episodes here and there, you might experience PTSD. You kind of develop some of those systems because some of things around you can trigger you. So I can recap real quick. So what often do you find? The victims have this long lasting impacts from on their mental well-being and emotional being from being with the narcissist, is that they lack empathy because a narcissist lacks empathy. They manipulate a lot. They have this sense of they're better than anyone. It can involve a lot of individualism, like that support. It's them. They come first. What they want comes first. So it's crucial that you are, if you're experiencing the same, you seek support. You also seek validation, and even if you're in a position to just seek help. So knowing what you know, you want to avoid this. You want to at least have the tools to like identify and like know, oh, this is bad, this is bad. So how do you want to recognize the warning signs of a narcissistic person or someone who has narcissistic behavior in a relationship? Because it's important to protect yourself from harms and also to protect your mental well-being. So not all instances of this behavior indicate that someone is a narcissist, but when there's a pattern, now that's when you're like, raise your eyebrows. So so these are some of the common red flags and warnings that you can watch out for. So for me, what I can tell, if excessive self-centeredness, when a person is always prioritizing their needs, their desires, their accomplishments above you, above others, they dominate conversation, show little interest in others or yourself, and they always expect special treatment. And if it doesn't go like that, or special admiration, and if it does not go like that, they don't react well. That's one of the red flag example. When you're having a conversation from experience, you find that they are the only ones who are talking, and it's like, hi, So my day was like this and like that and like this and like that, and there's no point where they'll be like, so how was your day? And even if they ask how was your day, you'll be like, oh, my day was, and then they'll project and make it about themselves, and they dominate conversation. They show little interest to other people's perspective. They want special treatments always from people, from there's everyone around them. They feel like they require special treatment, they require admiration. So that's if you have self-centered, basically. So if you have someone around you who's like that, and who was constantly, remember, these things, we do have those tendencies, but when they become a pattern, that's when we call them, that's when a person is labeled, they do have a narcissistic personality. Another thing is lack of empathy. A key characteristic of narcissism is like lack of empathy for others' feelings, experiences. Like they really don't care about what you're going through. And if they listen, they will belittle what you're going through. They will invalidate that experience. You're crying because you didn't do ABCD, or you're feeling this way because you didn't do ABCD. So they genuinely do not have compassion or concern, nothing. So grandiosity and superiority, that's another thing. I think self of importance, they believe that they have inherited this superiority than others. They may even boast about their achievement every single day. They exaggerate their talents and ability, and they seek advantage, and they always bolster their fragile self-esteem on this, always. So if you have someone who's constantly boosting their, like, I did this deal, I have this ability, like no one can do this better than I can, that's a narcissistic person. They have manipulative behavior, they just have this tactic. They want to control and exploit you for their own gain. They want to gaslight you. That's make someone doubt their own perception of reality. It's like, do you think you're smart? You know, do you think you are thinking? Do you think you're better? Do you think you did a good job? They always make you doubt your own perception or reality. They guilt trip you, and they use emotional blackmail to get what they want. Like, so bad. And then they have this sense of entitlement, which we've talked about. They become angry or resentful when their needs are not met, and when others fail to fulfill their needs, they become extremely entitled. And then boundary violations. They completely disregard other people's personal boundary, insisting on having their way, disregarding others' needs, preferences. They may even intrude on others' personal space, invade their privacy, or even manipulate them into doing things they're uncomfortable with. So if you have a friend or you're in a relationship with someone like that, so that becomes a problem. So charm and charisma. This is a big one for me, but while not all charming individuals are narcissistic, some narcissistic use their charm, this is huge, to manipulate and deceive others. They present with this charismatic facade to mask their undying insecurities and manipulative tendencies. Trust me, too much charisma that is very questionable. And you know something about charisma is like, there's good charisma, there are good people out there, but when someone is charming and they have narcissistic tendencies, worst recipe, worst cocktail, worst mocktail, tell me. So recognizing these red flags early can empower you to protect yourself, because I wish I had this template and this research from this therapist that have put together this research, and I wouldn't have avoided so much pain and uncertainties, and I would have avoided being impacted like that by being in that relationship. So we want to know, here are some of the strategies for addressing. So if you're in a relationship with a narcissistic person, they could be having narcissistic tendencies. And one of the biggest thing for me is just know when to start walking away, distance yourself and the relationship. And if the narcissistic behavior continues despite your efforts to address it, just put yourself first, put your well-being first, your emotional being is paramount. It's not okay. It's okay to prioritize your needs and your safety. Another thing is, if you know them, tell them to seek professional help, seek support, maintain your independence, avoid overly being dependent on that person, set boundaries earlier on in that relationship, and always, always trust your instinct. Trust me, they are right. They are always right. Despite knowing that after you leave this relationship with this narcissistic person, you might end up not trusting your instincts for a while, but eventually when you get there, when you start healing, when you start going there, you will definitely be able to trust your instincts again. So let's talk about healing and self-discovery after being in a relationship with a narcissistic person, and what's the importance of the things that you can do if now you've just identified you've been in a relationship with a narcissistic person, you've gotten the courage to leave that relationship or to resolve some of those issues. There are some of the things that you can use or help you heal. They do really did help me heal. I did them knowingly and unknowingly, but first thing first, you need to start loving yourself. Love yourself, and just ensure that this self-care, which involves self-care, is a lot. It's prioritizing like your physical, emotional, mental well-being, because the aftermaths of being in a narcissistic relationship, the experiences have degraded your self-esteem. They've heightened your stress level. You have emotional exhaustion, let me tell you. Engaging in self-care practices like exercising, eating healthy, adequate rest, mindful activities, getting new hobbies, you know, promoting your emotional healing and fostering a sense of self-worth. It's very important, especially if you've been you're just coming out of a narcissistic relationship. I can assure you all of this I tried, and some aspects of every one of those practices really did help me heal. Therapy, I did not have access to therapy, but if you do have access to a therapist, or you know, these things, the things you will navigate forever. That's why when you go and read so many articles, we are referred as victim, even if I do not like that name, but it's true. We're being referred as victim because we have been through so much. So in therapy, they can help you create more coping strategies that are healthy, and they can be able to like come in with a trauma-informed approach, maybe to address the complex emotional aftermath after being in that narcissistic abuse. You know, getting friends and family, this is what I did. I had a very strong support network of friends, and yeah, you need to start connecting with others who have been in the same situation. I'm yet to interact with so many people who have been through these same situations, but I, from the internet, it becomes really, really a village, because you hear these stories and you're like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I went through, and you were able to get that empowerment, and you're able to know that, hey, I'm not alone, and so many of us have survived this narcissistic relationship abuse, and we are survivors. So self-discovery, you know, this discussing the opportunity for growth, self-discovery and empowerment that can emerge from overcoming a narcissistic relationship is essential for inspiring hope and resilience. So individuals that can harness their experiences for personal growth, kuna the ones that we've talked about self-discovery, empowerment, like Especially when you overcome a trauma from a narcissistic abuse, it can foster a sense of empowerment agency by reclaiming control of our lives and setting boundaries, prioritizing our needs. We can be able to rebuild a sense of self-efficiency and an anatomy, you know, a profound confidence, assertive and resilience in the face of the future challenges. So we, in this journey, personal growth is very important because the process of healing from a narcissistic abuse can catalyze profound personal growth and transformation. So you, like, I discovered that I developed a greater sense of empathy, compassion, emotional intelligence, you know, as a result of these experiences. So, and all this helped me cultivate healthier relationship dynamics, setting higher standards for myself, you know, and establishing boundaries that honor my worth and dignity. So let's start by acknowledging that there is potential growth for self-discovery and empowerment, that these are very, very crucial for helping us that who have been in a relationship with a narcissistic person renew our sense of self-worth. And yeah, so Rome was not built in a day, so this takes time. For me, it's been a journey of close to 4 years now, maybe. But every day it's healing, every day is reminding yourself, every day is just trusting your instincts, feeding yourself discovery, feeding yourself with positive remarks, and not letting anything or anyone say it to be the defining moment of your life. It's very, very important. I healed from that, and that's my story. I healed because when you interact with this kind of personality trait that's very, very negative and very, very self-centered, you lose yourself because you immerse yourself into these people's world. And when you come out of there, you start rediscovering yourself again, falling in love with yourself again. It's quite a journey, and accepting that you were a victim of circumstances in this case, it's also a crucial part of healing. So if you're going through it, I do hope that the research that I have done for you and some of the experiences that I've shared of myself in this, I can tell you from experience, all the things that I've mentioned are absolutely true, and they are helpful, and they are educational, and they are going to help you if you're going through that journey or if you're in that relationship, empower you to know better, to do better, to put yourself first, you know, to avoid this emotional and physical roller coaster of emotions that come as a result of being in this kind of a relationship. But this life is where we live and learn, and you know what? Life is an art. Whether the painting could be beautiful for me, it could be ugly for you, but at the end of the day, art is art. And our lives are art, and we live each day and we try to make them masterpieces. So I hope you learned something from this long episode, and I hope you, this has been a very tough conversation to have without going so much into details, but I hope you learned something, and I hope you can share this podcast with someone you think they will be, it would help, you know. So not all people who have those traits are narcissists, but people who continue to do those tasks, they do have narcissistic tendency, or they are actually narcissistic people with that kind of personality trait, and they hide on or in their charisma. So this has been Life is an Art Podcast with me, your host Maggie. Bye.